Having a look at one of our big stories in more detail this morning, experts are saying that last week's massive denial of service attack was made possible by unsecured devices on the Internet of Things. We're going to find out more about that now and what the Internet of Things really is and what it isn't. We're joined by Toby Rookart, who is the CEO of the tech firm Unified Inbox. Toby, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Brandy. I'm happy to be here.
And of course, your company very involved in the Internet of Things. It makes a unification engine that really allows devices from your home to speak to each other, to speak to you, to even send you WhatsApp messages if you need them to. And we'll get to that in a moment, but I'm really glad you're here because of this massive attack we saw last week. It took down sites such as Twitter, Spotify, CNN, slowed them right down. And people are saying that the weakest link, the thing that allowed it to happen, was vulnerable devices on the Internet of Things.
So actually, to an extent, that's absolutely true. And when you look at the attack, it's not a new attack. These attacks have been around for a long time. They're called denial of service attacks. Typically, what happens is that hackers take over thousands of computers, and they never tell them that they were taken over. And at the right moment in time, they attack a specific site. Now, in order to understand how that works, we need to look at how the internet operates. Very quickly, if you look at a phone, and maybe if I go to my childhood, I knew maybe 10, 15 phone numbers, and I knew them by heart. I knew them from memory. But now I just go to my address book on my smartphone and I look the name, and I don't even know the number behind. The internet operates in a similar manner. You have domain names, which are your contact entries in your address book. And behind these domain names, there are a lot of computers, a lot of servers, a lot of IP addresses. Nobody remembers those. Nobody can enter those. So the DNS is basically a translator between all those servers and web-based domain addresses that you remember. Now, If a DNS service is attacked, all the domain names that are behind the DNS service are affected. So in this case, what has happened is that a large bot army attacked a DNS service, a very, very good DNS service, by the way. And that's why you saw half the internet basically going down.
Where does the Internet of Things come into us? That's how the DOS attacks work. And you're right, we've seen these before, actually from this particular malware as well. So that's not new. But the scale of this is huge, and that's what's caught people's attention. Is there a problem with having all your devices connected to each other? Unsecured devices, devices like baby monitors and cameras and things you might not even think of?
Yes and no. It really depends how the device manufacturers, hopefully learning a lesson here as well, implement security now and in the future. Because you have a wireless router probably at home somewhere, and there's an admin password. So typically these admin passwords, they are completely standardized, and any device that you connect to your router has a password as well. So these bot armies, basically what they do, they just try trial and error, and if they get in, then they hijack that device, and from that device they initiate the attack. So if we don't have standard username and passwords and make this a bit more complicated, that would make it much harder to get into those devices.
But then, I mean, I'm thinking about passwords for things like my phone and my laptop and the bigger stuff in my life. But I'm not thinking about passwords for the tiny things that often I think people don't even realize can get into your network as a whole. I mean, what needs to happen here to secure these devices?
So looking at this particular attack, what has happened mostly, it was CCTV cameras. I mean, mostly cameras. So typically when you look at the uplink of those cameras, it's high bandwidth because they got a stream video. So they have a huge potential attacking on a big scale. When you look at your fridge, it probably doesn't have as high uplink, and you can limit the upstreaming. That doesn't make much sense compared to cameras. So not every device is equally prone to those attacks as say, for example, these cameras. But you're quite right. Theoretically, any device that is connected to the internet can be used to be misused.
Let me ask you about the Internet of Things, because it can be quite scary if the devices start talking to each other and they can start thinking for themselves. The possibilities are endless. How much does the term Internet of Things infer artificial intelligence, or is much of it simply code that we program and the internet is simply the courier of the message? Are we still in charge?
At the moment, we are still in charge.
But sounds spooky.
At the moment, yes, maybe it does. But your question is spot on. So IoT basically enables artificial intelligence. If you look at artificial intelligence, that cannot happen without things being connected. I mean, we want something to happen automatically in our world, but if things are not connected and if there's no intelligence behind it, it just won't work out. Look at it. E-commerce from 1995 to 2005 was enabled by broadband internet, right? And in the past 10 years, social media was enabled by smartphones. So you always have two absolute mega trends. The same is happening right now with IoT and artificial intelligence. But we are still in charge because it's not everything connected.
Well, I mean, I guess one area that has used the IoT concept more than others is industry. I mean, talk about the industrial Internet of Things. Much of industry has been computerized, automated for quite a long time now. How much further can IoT take it? Can you give any examples?
You mean specifically in industrial IoT?
In industrial production, for instance.
Okay, so I mean, we have some use cases in industrial IoT. If somebody doesn't wear their safety vest or their helmet, say on an oil rig, for example, right, or on a ship, then the security camera detects that and can send a WhatsApp or SMS message to the person to immediately put it on. Because you have the identity of the person and you basically see is it on or not. The same if somebody has a safety vest on, approaches a machine, and there's a security issue, could immediately be warned with the proper context.
If they don't do it, a big arm comes out and throws them overboard.
Hopefully not. But at least, lives could be saved.
Let me ask you, one of the sort of most frequently talked about areas is job losses. I mean, should we be wary of IoT from a job-stealing point of view?
No, I wouldn't not at all from an IoT point of view. Maybe a little bit from an artificial intelligence and robot point of view, yes. But when you look at history, there were always technology advancements, and there was always a change in terms of how we adopted to new technologies and found new jobs, etc. I personally am not worried about this too much. More about the wealth that is coming down from previous generations or new generations, and they probably don't know what to do with that money.
I'm interested in the example that you gave to Malcolm there about getting a message to say, "Oi, put your vest on," because this is what your company does, doesn't it? It allows all of these devices to contact us through any way that we want. So effectively, your vest could send you a Twitter message, it could send you an email, it could get hold of you via WhatsApp, via Facebook Messenger, whatever the platform is you want to use. In theory, it sounds great. I can send a Facebook message back home to my, I don't know, food processor saying, "Hey, here's a recipe I've seen on the internet. Have a think about
this. Go and make it."
But then I was also thinking, every device in my life, if I started communicating with it, that is a lot of messages.
Yes and no, absolutely. But imagine for every device you have to download an application. You already have too many apps on your phone. So what we do is we basically insert a contact for entire smart home. And if you're shopping, you can just ask your fridge, "Send me a picture of what's inside. I forgot to look," right? Or you can heat your oven to 200 degrees. So by the time you're home and have a pizza from the freezer, you just put it inside. So there is no friction anymore. You don't have to download an app. You talk to your devices just like you talk to people, which is something that you already know how to do.
Toby Rukert is the CEO of the tech firm Unified Inbox. We really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.